Okay, if I remember correctly, last week we left off on somewhat of a cliffhanger, somewhat of a practical issue or challenge to practical reality that was brought in one of the Achronim, one of the major Achronim, who raised an issue coming from where we left off last time. So we've been talking about what is included in the mitzvah mehatorah of Kiddush, and what is not. And we know that the whole complex combination of aspects that we have nowadays, that Kiddush for us involves reciting a bracha over a cup of wine, and drinking from the wine, and having that take place b'makom suda, and doing another one during the daytime, and also making havdalah. So all of that is a part of our current obligation. And how much of that is included in the Torah obligation of Zachar, so Meshavah Sakacho, so that we weren't sure, and that we saw many, many different views. And that led to the possibility that it might be that Min HaTorah, the requirement is much more minimal, and that maybe it's possible to fulfill the obligation in HaTorah with something much less. And among those possibilities was the view of Magen Avraham, that simply going to shul Friday night and davening Maariv, and at this point we're not necessarily assuming that Kiddush is being recited in shul. Let's work off the assumption they don't have a separate Kiddush at the end of davening. It's simply just the Friday night davening itself. Says the Magen Avraham, with that you fulfill the obligation, min ha-Torah, of Kiddush. You're not done, because the rabbis obligate you to do a lot more, but min ha-Torah, you're yotzei. Based on that, the Dogma Mervava had the following problem. The Dogma Mervava is a commentary to the Shulchan Aruch written by one of the greatest Achronim, Rabbi Chezkel Landau, the author of the Shailus and Chuvus Note de Yehuda, also the author of the Tzlach, a very crucial sefer on Tzachim and Brachos, very relevant to a lot of our studies this year. So the author of those Svarim in his commentary to Shulchan Aruch called Dagul Mervava, Simen Reishayin Aleph. So he raised the following question, that if it's really true, according to the Magen Avraham, that you fulfill your obligation in Minat Torah of Kiddush in Shul, this could create marital discord. This could create strife between the husband and wife. Because let's assume, let's posit for the moment, that the woman is not, the wife is not davening Maariv Friday night. So what will happen is, the husband will come home. He has gone to shul. He has fulfilled his obligation of Kiddush Min HaTorah. Now, like we said, he's not done. He still has to make Kiddush the Makom Suda, but that remains as an obligation Midrabanan. His wife, however, as you'll recall from day one, Nashim Chayavos B'Kiddush, what's the language of the Gemara? Chayavos B'Kiddush Dvar Torah. So she's more obligated than he is. And we know that in order to be motzi anyone else through Shemaya Ka'ona, the one doing the talking has to be at least as obligated, if not more so, than the listener. So how do you address that? Here, the husband, he's only obligated midrabanan. And his wife is obligated min HaTorah. How can he be motzi her? This was the question of the Dagul Mervava. Now, we'll throw that out there. You might realize that there are some presumptions being made here, which have to be explored further. There's a whole world that kind of opens up out of this question. But let's throw out the first pitch. So what do you think about that issue? What do you think about the Dagul Mervava's question? Ari? I think you're muted, or I'm not hearing you. 1 second. Is that me?
Better now.
Yeah, it's better now. Okay. Okay, so very good. So you picked up on the kind of elephant in the room, the hidden issue that certainly should seem to reframe the whole conversation. So what is going on here? So Ari, there's a lot packed in what you just said. So what Ari noticed is that there should be an easy answer to this question. It really shouldn't be much of a question at all. So there must be a couple of steps missing. First step is that there is a position that the Dago Mervava is basing himself on. And we're going to have to figure out how exactly that impacts things or doesn't impact things. So we'll have to break it down into stages. But first, the missing piece of information. If you had a chance to see in the chorus I sent out this morning, is a rush in the Maseches Brachos. The rush to Daf Chaf and Beis in the Maseches Brachos is the missing element here that prompts the Dago Mervava's question. Because on the surface, and maybe the conclusion also, but certainly on the surface, so Ari's position, Ari's point is very correct, that this shouldn't bother us at all. We mentioned last week, and we mentioned during the Zman as well, because it was part of the whole Shemei Kaona discussion, that we have a principle of Arvus. I think I mentioned this a little bit last week, that somebody who is Mechuyev B'davar, somebody is already qualified to be Motzi other people, if he is, in general, obligated. So then, that allows him to be Motzi other people. And Arvus tells us that that's true even if he's already fulfilled his obligation. So, for example, if somebody goes to shul on Rosh Hashanah, hears the shofar, or blows the shofar himself, he still can go to the hospital afterwards and blow shofar for somebody who hasn't heard. If somebody heard the Megillah per morning, he can still read the Megillah for someone who's in quarantine. We have this ability to be motzi others even though we've already fulfilled the mitzvah. That's not a problem, apparently. And that is the most basic interpretation of what Arvus tells us. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh, that beautiful slogan in general, has many broader implications, but in its most basic halachic application, the language of the Gemara, Rosh Hashanah Daf Chof Tes, is that kol mitzvahs kulon af al pi sheyotza motzi, even though you were yotza, you could be motzi. Now we saw there may even be some more complicated and fancy applications. So we also spoke last week that the one who's making kiddush and shul for the guests, who is not yet himself yotze and can't be yotze in that context, because he's not having the suta there, still he can make kiddush on behalf of the people who are visiting. So that's a fancier application, and we said maybe it should even help the rabbi who forgot to count Sfiras HaOmer, that maybe he can count on behalf of his shul through this Arvus idea. But the most basic notion is that Acha Pishu Yotze Motzi, if you are ready Yotze, you still can be Motzi others. So the question is, what's the problem? Black on white. It's not even a question. It doesn't get off the ground. No different than blowing shofar for the people in the hospital or reading Megillah for the quarantine. You were Yotze Kiddush already. You could be Motzi again. Doesn't matter. So the twist here is a somewhat surprising and maybe controversy-causing position of the Rush, or a possible position of the Rush. But it sounds like from the Rush over there in Brachos, if you had a chance to see, that Arvus does not extend to women. Now, that's a pretty shocking statement, and it requires a lot of explanation, and we'll try to do that. But that's what prompts the Dagum Ravava's question. So we'll try to address it in two halves. Right, so this notion that women are somehow excluded from Arvus is surprising. So we'll have to try to figure out if that's the case, you know? But just to address all the different angles of this question, and like I said before, this issue that the Dagum Ravava throws on the table opens up the door to many, many discussions within Kiddush. We almost could have done it if we only had one shiur to say about Kiddush, and we wanted to get everything in. We could have put it all in through this question, because it opens the door to so many different things. It's a good framing device. But by now you guys have a little bit more grounding in the topic, but we could have made it only through this. So, what approaches could we take? First, before dealing with a very significant issue of what the Rush means or where he's coming from or why that should be true, first, let's take it as a given. Let's assume it's the case that Arvus is not going to help us here. So how could we address this question? How could we answer the No Debi Hudas question? So it would seem like the only way, if we don't think that Arvus works, then the only way to allow the husband to be mostly the wife is to really challenge the Magen Avraham. That is to say that it must not be the case that you were Yotzei in Shul. Now, you could come at it from the other direction, but presumably that's not a great idea. Meaning you could say, well, let's encourage the wife to also daven ma'ariv, and she will be equal. Now, it might be a good idea for the daven ma'ariv for any number of reasons. It might be a good idea for the shul also, if that's possible. But with this specific motive to say, let's just knock her down a peg, so to speak, let's make her also only obligated me to rabbanah, for reasons we'll get into, or reasons that will become clear, it doesn't sound like a great strategy. So, let's deal with it from the other direction. Why might you question the Magen Avraham's position? Or at least, practically speaking, at the end of the day, Friday night, might it not be true that you are Yotzei in Shul? So, we've seen that there is a machlokas in general as to what is included in Kiddush Min HaTorah. So the Magen Avraham's position is somewhat minimalist, right? It's saying that just mentioning it in the context of Shemona Esrei is enough. We saw that if you're going to say some of the missing parts might make the difference, we have to figure out which missing parts are most significant. So yes, it's missing wine. So if you are of the opinion, like some of the Balei HaTosfos, or maybe Rashi, Tosfos is less like this, but let's say like Rashi, that Yayin is a part of the mitzvah min HaTorah, okay, so then you don't have that. But we saw it doesn't seem to be the most accepted view. And most assume that wine is midrabanan. Now, we discussed last week that it could be that Kiddush B'Makom Suda is Ma'akev on a level in the Torah, right, which actually also was coming from the Rush, for the Rush here in Pesachim. And the truth is, so that's a little bit maybe ironic, because you could answer the Rush with the Rush, right? The Rush in Brachos is causing us problems and saying that Arvus is not so simple here. But the Rush in Pesachim may solve the whole problem by saying you can't be Yotzei without Makom Suda anyway. Now, we discussed last week that it's a little bit of a question how to read that Rush. Does it mean that you're not Yotzei at all without Makom Suda? Or maybe he was just talking about the practice of making Kiddush Alakos in Shul, and his understanding was that that's not really adding anything. But it's possible that even the Rush might agree that Min HaTorah you are Yotze was just the mention. So that's one aspect to consider, this issue of Makom Suda. Another major factor that may really throw a monkey wrench into this is based on the Gemara in the end of Vayikra Tzacha, right, which was on your original list of Makaros. The question of how important is what element? Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Right, that was a Gemara on Daf Kuf Yedayin that understood in connection with Zohar Sama Shabbos Bekadcho, that there also has to be a reference to Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. So perhaps we should say that you are not Yotzei. Again, you have to argue on the Magen Avraham and say that if you're missing Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, that does not allow you to fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush Min HaTorah. So is that indeed the case? So many did raise this objection. Menachem? Right. So we know that you do need to mention, and it's a Gemara also, right? So that we know that you do need to do so. So the question we have to try to figure out is, first of all, is that a real drasha or an esmata? Right, do we understand that to be a part of the mitzvah of the HaTorah? Because our question here is, are you yotze on any level, are you yotze min HaTorah without this? So first we need to figure out, is it a part of the mitzvah of the HaTorah? And then, even if it's not a part of the mitzvah min HaTorah, is it ma'akev, like we saw this whole possibility of a mitzvah d'rabbanan redefining a mitzvah min HaTorah? So how does that play a role? So the truth is there were some pretty big guns who thought this was an issue. And among them, the Minchas Chinuch. In Mitzvah Lamed Aleph, he says, you cannot be Yotze without Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's going to be a fatal flaw. And the Mishnah Berurah also raises this objection. Over there, Reish Ayin Aleph, Mishnah Berurah raises this objection against the Magen Avraham, where he writes that it seems that the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim in Kiddush is crucial. And if you don't have that, you can't be Yotze. So that's another topic we'll have to explore a little bit more. It's just how crucial is Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim within Kiddush? Is it true that lacking that could invalidate the Kiddush? So this is one of the major issues we still have to determine. So that's potentially a solution to the question of how does the husband still have enough chiyuv in order to be motzi his wife? So if he doesn't have the chiyuv to see us Mitzrayim, so then maybe Magen Avraham is wrong according to this premise, and he's not going to be yotze Kiddush Min HaTorah, he's still fully obligated. And the Shuv is Shaul HaMeshuv, he has an interesting discussion. Shaul HaMeshuv quotes Rav Yitzchok Tuman, who raised the question of why is it if there really is such an integral relationship there? So why didn't Chazal institute within Friday night tefillah the integration of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Zechiras Shavuos? So what he suggests there is that tefillah is basically about hopes for the future. And Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is about the past. So in Kiddush, where it's all about talking about our commemoration and the creation of the world and Yetzias Mitzrayim, so then that all fits into Kiddush. But into davening, which is not created for that purpose, it doesn't necessarily fit. Now there's a distinction between Shabbos and Yontif, because Yontif, so the Yom Tovim, certainly at least Pesach and Sukkot, are about commemorating Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. So there, to have that in the theme for Yontif davening, so that's a part of what the Yontif is about. But the Shabbos davening, not necessarily, so it's not a part inherently of the Tfilah, and therefore you have this flaw according to the Magen Avraham, according to the Michas Chinuch, and according to the Mishnah Berurah, that you don't have Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now the Mishnah Berurah does quote the possibility that it's not a Din Min HaTorah, Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, that it is a Asmachta. So that could defend the Magen Avraham. Although Mishnah Berurah himself says he thinks this is tochen. He thinks that this is not really so satisfying. So we'll have to come back to this topic. We'll have to explore a little bit more the role of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim in Kiddush. And just as a little teaser, so one question to consider is, even if you say that it's a Chiyuv in HaTorah, that remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim in Kiddush comes from a very strong authority, but still, maybe there's room to question, is it ma'akev or not? Because what if it's not a din in Kiddush, but it's a din in Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim? That the obligation of Yetzias Mitzrayim requires us to take that opportunity as well. So that's a little bit of a teaser to that discussion we'll come back to. But that's one of the major battlegrounds in this question of, are you yotzei in shul? And does that cause any complications at home? Is this issue of Yetzias Mitzrayim? Okay, so far so good? So those are two or more ways you could disagree with Magen Avraham, and therefore preserve the complete obligation of Kiddush for the household. Either to say, well, the broad way is to say that any of the other factors that might be missing are ma'akeh. And most likely candidate is Yetzias Mitzrayim. And a runner-up might be Kiddush Malkum Sukkah. Okay, so far so good? So now let's approach the questions from a different level. So let's say, is there a way to say that the Magen Avraham is theoretically right, but still, practically speaking, the husband who goes to shul and his wife doesn't, he is not yotzei Kiddush Min HaTorah, without arguing in the Magen Avraham? If you draw back on some of our learning from the past few months, from before the break, is there any path you can draw upon to preserve the husband's complete obligation, even if the Magen Avraham is theoretically correct? All right. Okay. So what about Kavana? Right, so that was one of our major sugyas from before. It's all going to come into play today. So what about mitzvos trichos Kavana? And what about negatives Kavana? This is also something that the Mishnah Berurah talks about in this issue. Right, so can one be assumed to be in fulfillment of Kiddush by going to shul in light of the issue of Kavanah? And where does Mitzvah Srichot Kavanah fit in here? And what about our controversial friend, negative Kavanah? Right, does negative Kavanah come into play here? So this is also a discussion in the Chassam Sofer in a few places in his writing. In the Chassam Sofer, in his Tshuvas, and also in his commentary to the Shulchan Aruch. So he takes up this issue in a few places and has slightly different presentations in some of these places. But the thrust of it is that negative kavana should be in play. And this highlights the fact that separate from the issue of husbands and wives, even without that, the whole scenario is undesirable to begin with. Without this whole technical complication of being mostly someone else. But even without that, the situation is undesirable. Because we never want to separate our fulfillment of a mitzvah min haTorah and the requirements midrabanan. In general, what we mean when we say that Chazal added on to a mitzvah, we mean that we need to fulfill the mitzvah in that way. So we never want to be yotzei the mitzvah min haTorah and then come and do the drabanan later. We talked about some time ago about hiddur mitzvah, whether you can add on a hiddur after you've already fulfilled the mitzvah in its base form. But here, especially, we're talking about the way the mitzvah is supposed to be performed, l'chachila. So even if you assume that the mitzvah doesn't get totally redefined, and that there's some possibility of a mitzvah min haTorah without a drabanan, but still it's not desirable, it's not the way you want to do it. So already it's a question that if the Magen Avraham is right, that you could be yotzei min haTorah. And that question is even sharper nowadays, that if we do have Kiddush recited in Shul, so then that's even more likely to be yotzei, right? Because that will address the Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim problem, and it'll be recited al hakos. And so nowadays, besides the beginning, that this question was asked, this question was asked, even without Kiddush being recited in Shul. And the issue of Yetzias Mitzrayim might have helped. But if you do make Kiddush in Shul, so you have Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the issue of Kavana is relevant on that front as well. So let's say the Magen Avraham is correct. And even if he wasn't, you're actually making Kiddush in Shul, Alakos, with Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Could it be that you're still not yotzei because of kavana issues? Na yotzei even min haTorah. So that's the path the Mishneh Berurah talks about this, and that is the path that Chassam Sofer takes, where he basically suggests that you should have negative kavana, and in one place he suggests like you don't necessarily have to even think about the negative kavana, but that the negative kavana is assumed. Because this is an undesirable situation, in one of his references he uses the phrase leiv bezdin masna lehen, which is an expression from the Gemara to mean that the bezdin acts on behalf of Chal Yisrael, and they kind of tell you what your kavana is, that it's already a given. That anyone's assumption is going to make kiddush on the table when he comes home, that he has negative intention regarding Kiddush and Shul. And that's preferable regardless, even if he wasn't going to make Kiddush for his family, just himself. You don't want to split the chiyuv. So that's why I was saying before that the suggestion that the woman should daven, the wife should daven Ma'ariv herself, or go to Shul herself, so if she's able to do that, that's great, but for the purpose of knocking down the Chiyah so she's on his level, to bring her down to his level, that's not so kedai, because it's really not ideal for him either. So to say both of them should be not ideal, both of them should split their mitzvah and have the Daraisa first and Drabbanan later, it wasn't ideal for him, it's not ideal for her either. So that doesn't really seem like the best suggestion, even though it could happen for other reasons. She's probably not terrific, but if it's happening just to knock the obligation down, that doesn't seem to be the wisest path. There is a Akpeda, some have, for example, not to sing Sormi Shalom during the meal on Friday night, even though it's a beautiful song. But the concern is that they might be Yotze benching Mehatorah by singing that song. That the language of Tzor Mishalal Achalnu Baruch Hu, right, so you're saying, okay, God gave us food and he is blessed. So maybe that's a fulfillment of Bricha Samazon Mehatorah, the Achalta B'Savatah thereafter. And even though you're still going to have to do the rest of benching, Midrabanan, but maybe you had this undesirable consequence of splitting your benching Minatorah and your benching Midrabanan. So somehow it's paid not to sing Tzor Mishalom in the middle of a meal. I remember I was once giving a shir, and I mentioned this point, this whole idea that I don't want to say Tzor Mishalom Achalot because you might be yotzei benching Minatorah. And I forgot that the shir I was giving was in the context of the meal. So we, at that discussion also, we were waiting still to bench. So I created the same situation that I was describing, this possible problem that may be saying that passes you on a level Mahatorah. However, here also, Ein Lucha negative Kavana, Gabum is that. I was just explaining why it's a problem. So presumably that should suffice as negative kavana. That should make it very clear that I was not planning on being Yotzei benching Minotaurah that way because I was in the whole context of explaining why it's problematic. I think we can rely on that for negative kavana. So that's what the Chasam Sofer, at least in one of the formulations, says here also. There is either a active negative kavana, there's an implied negative kavana, and that could help. Now, a very interesting issue to consider is we saw when we talked about negative kavana. So you might recall that a view that came out of some Mishnah was that it's one thing to have neutral kavana. If you don't have any kavana one way or another, that's fine. Mitzvos ein trichos kavana. But kavana for something else crowds out the kavana. So there are some who would suggest that for that reason you have inherent negative kavana, because you're davening marriage. You're not trying to make kish. So if that's the case, so then the marriage should override the kavana for kiddush. Your intent was to daven, not to make kiddush. And therefore, that's worse than no kavana. That's kavana directed elsewhere. And for that reason, you shouldn't be okay. Now, that's very interesting, because if the premise is true, so then you have to ask, well, is there really such a difference between Meyer and Kiddush? Are they so fundamentally distinct from each other that Kavana for one crowds out Kavana for the other? So we just mentioned a few minutes ago the Shalom Eishes that says that there's a reason why one is talking about past and one is talking about future. But I don't know if that's enough to really define them as fundamentally different. And there are those who argue that Adarabba, the mitzvah of Kiddush, is certainly on a level min HaTorah to praise God regarding this gift of Shabbos. And that's exactly what's happening in marriage. So to say it's a negative kavana, maybe that's a lot harder to say. Ari? Yeah, no, that could be. That's what you mentioned, and that would make the question harder. Right? So, in a sense, we don't want to be Yotze. When the Magen Avraham said it, he was talking about Tzvila by itself. He was not assuming that you made Kiddush Mitzvah. But if we do it, but to the extent that it causes a problem, because we don't want to split our Chiyav, or we don't want to separate the husband from the wife, so then the Magen Avraham is a problem. And then you're right, that Kiddush and Shul makes the problem bigger, because it makes it even more likely that you are Yotzei with that. So if we're looking not to be Yotzei with Kiddush and Shul, so then the introduction of the Kiddush that's recited al kos at the end seems to complicate them, seems to make the problem bigger. So far, we've basically seen a few different approaches here that are all broken down into different categories. So one approach is to bring the woman down to the husband's level. We said that's not great for lot of reasons. So we kind of dismissed that from the beginning. Second approach was to argue on the Magen Avraham's premise and say that, no, you're not Yotze in Shul because of Yetzias Mitzrayim or because of Malkum Suda or because of something else. The third approach was to accept his premise theoretically, but not practically, and say that you could have been Yotze in Shul, but because of Kavana issues and maybe intentional Kavana issues, practically speaking, you won't be Yotze. So all of those go to basic definitional issues of Kiddush, which is why, again, this opens up so many different doors in the whole question. But it was all based on a somewhat questionable premise. It was all based on the Rush, or the reading of the Rush that the Dagom Ravava presents, that Arvus does not extend for women. Right? Because without the Rush, this question would not have started. The whole conversation wouldn't happen, because we have Arvus. Afal Pishu Yartamotzi is no problem whatsoever. So it's only a question because the Rush brought this idea to mind that maybe women have a different status. So that might sound surprising and maybe troubling. So is that indeed the case? So I don't know if you had a chance to see the Rush inside. This is the Rush in Brachos, Perek Gimel, Siman Yud Gimel. We have to ask a number of questions on this. First of all, is his position accepted? Second of all, why should it be true? What's the difference between women and men as far as this is concerned? Third of all, does it go in both directions? We say women can't be motzi men in a situation that requires arvus, and men can't be motzi women, or does it only go in one direction? And lastly, and perhaps most importantly, did the Rush ever mean this in the first place? So, anyone want to take a stab at any of those questions? How would you address any of those issues? So let's take a step back and consider the context. What was he talking about? So the Rush, it's a little bit of misdirection, because they asked to look at this Rush, and they say, oh yeah, I know, this is a Gemara about Nashim Chayavus B'Kiddush Tvar Torah, it makes sense. But the relevant lines for us today was actually not about Kiddush. So a little bit of misdirection. So the Rush was also talking about benching in that context. So the Gemara over there, on Brachos and Daf Chaf, the same Daf where it talks about Kiddush, the Gemara wants to know, are women obligated in benching the HaTorah or not? And it happens actually to be an unresolved issue out of Yom HaZeh. So the suffix, whether women are obligated in benching the HaTorah. For sure obligated, midrabanan. And we're not sure, minatot. So the Gemara asks, well, who cares? One way or another, they have to bench. So who cares if it's the Rais or the Rabbanan? What difference does it make? So the whole question and the answer is surprising, because we have that question all the time. And we normally assume that it has an afkamina for Safik Rabbanan Lekula and Safik Rais Lahafmir, that we need to know whether we have to be Mahmir and Sveikas or not. So we have to know whether something is Darais or not. So, for example, if there's a Safik, so we'll know whether there's an obligation to bench again. That's usually the afkamina. So for whatever reason, the Gemara does not give that difference here. And the Gemara says the whole issue that we're interested in, the reason we want to know, is what if the woman wants to make pechas hamazon on behalf of her husband? Let's say her husband ate together with her, and now can she bench on behalf of both of them? So if he's obligated in that Torah, and she's obligated in that Torah, then she can be motzi hinti. But if she's only obligated midrabanan, so that's the whole problem. You have to be on the same level. You can't be motzi. So, why is that the case? Because she's not on the same level of obligation. But the Rush discusses there that, let's say you have two men. One is obligated in benching because he ate a meal. And the other one did not eat a meal. So he is not obligated at all. Let's say he ate a meal where he didn't have kidei svia. So he's obligated midrabana. So it sounds like from a different Gemara that if you are obligated midrabana, you could theoretically be motzi somebody else who's obligated ben HaTorah. If you have, let's say, two men, one who is fully obligated ben HaTorah because he had a meal, and the other one who's theoretically obligated, but right now either didn't eat at all or only ate enough to be chayiv midrabana, he could be, at least when he's chayiv midrabana, he could be motzi the guy who's chayiv ben HaTorah. So what's the difference? Right there you have a man who's only obligated midrabana. So if he can be motzi, then why don't we say that the wife can be motzi her husband even if her obligation is only midrabana? So the Rush says, well, in the case of the man, so he's normally obligated. So here he's only obligated midrabana, so then Arvus allows him to connect. And even if he hadn't eaten at all, Arvus would allow him to do it. It's just that for the purpose of a bracha, we want him to eat something, so midrabanan, we wait until he had at least a little bit. But, strictly speaking, he could be motzi even without that. So apparently, the Rush is drawing this distinction, that the man who is not obligated right now, because of Arvus, he can be motzi another man. But the wife who's only obligated midrabanan, if that's the case, Alatzaj is only obligated midrabanan, she still would not be able to be motzi her husband. So based on that, that's how the Noda Behuda and the Dagam Ravada, that's how he says, oh, you see from the Rush, Arvus works for men, doesn't work for women. That was the premise of the question. So, now to restate our questions, you think this is a widely accepted view? Does it go both directions? Maybe the Rush was only saying that the woman wouldn't be able to be motzi her husband. Maybe the other direction could work. Maybe men to women does work. And if not, why not? Where does this come from? What is there in the premise of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazah that doesn't include women? Or does the Rush not even mean this? What do you think, Zach?
Could the Rush only mean this because normally women are only chayiv midrabanan and midrabanan, but it's different when it comes to kiddush. Because in kiddush, they're chayiv the right number of men.
Ah, okay. So I think you are very likely on the track to the most likely interpretation here. And you're in very good company, in company of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. But first, I think that's probably most likely to be the correct answer, so we'll reserve it for last for a second. Not because it's wrong, maybe because it's right, but just to give you a little bit of background, so there is extensive literature about this, as you could imagine. And the literature addresses all of these points, addresses the question of why should there be any exclusion for women here. Is it somehow derived from the Sukkim? So, for example, one of the sources of Arvus is the Pasuk in the Chukosai. We read a few weeks ago, V'kashlu ish ve'achiv, that one will stumble on behalf of his brother because they're all interconnected. It's a language achiv specifically. There's a lot of literature about this, trying to figure out what the source is, trying to figure out if it does go in both directions. Trying to figure out what its practical implications are. So, for example, the Primogadim has a discussion. We talked a little bit earlier this year, again, more synergy points. We talked about the question of women in Kriyas Megillah. And according to the view of a lot of poskim, that women can read for women. So, should there be a distinction in this area? So, a woman who already heard the Megillah, should we say that they can't read for other women anymore? That even though a man who did has arvus, but a woman doesn't, is that true? Can the Gadim has a topic about this? So there is a pretty extensive literature you could find. Stifler talks about this. There's a lot written about this question of how you could explain such an exclusion. Where does it come from? Why should it be? What does it mean? There's a lot written about this. However, the most likely interpretation is probably what Zach said. And this is the view of Rabbi Akiva Eiger as well. Rabbi Akiva Eiger, it's easy to remember here because the Siman Reish Ayin Aleph. Reish Ayin Aleph stands for Rabbi Akiva Eiger, also stands for where this comment is. Siman Reish Ayin Aleph. So, in his Hagos on the Shulchan Aruch and elsewhere, Rabbi Akiva Eiger says he thinks the whole premise is incorrect. And basically, essentially, what Zach said. That the notion of Arvus, for sure, it shouldn't exclude women fundamentally. There's no reason to think that Arvus is any less applicable to include women as the listener, to include women as the speaker. In all directions, Arvus should apply to women 100%. However, the issue here is the mitzvah itself that we're talking about. Exactly like Zach said, that if you have a mitzvah that everyone is obligated in, so then they have arvus for each other, no question. The issue is, the Rosh was talking specifically about Birchas Hamazon. And there, the Gemara wasn't sure whether women are obligated in the mitzvah fundamentally. So the point was that if you're not obligated in the Iker mitzvah, so then you may not have arvus to be motzi somebody else. But if you are, so then for sure arvus should apply whether we're talking about men or women. So since Nashim Chayavus B'Kedesh Menat Arvus, so we'll redirect on this direction, so it is about that line in the Gemara in Brachos, Nashim Chayavus B'Kedesh Dvar Torah. So then, because that's the opening premise, so yes, women are obligated in Kiddush 100%, and therefore Arvus should apply 100% as well. But if the individual mitzvah doesn't have a chiyuv, so then arvus should not necessarily extend to one who's not a part of the mitzvah on the basic level. And parenthetically, there are some who explain, Shach explains like this, that the reason we don't have chazaras hashatz for ma'ariv is because chazaras hashatz is there to be motzi those who are not able to daven on their own. And even though the chazan first davens privately, and then he davens again to be motzi everyone else, so he can daven twice because of arvus, but arvus presumes a chiyuv. And when it comes to ma'ariv, if we say that tfilas arvus reshus, the dominant position in the Gemara, that arvus is not really an obligation, so then, that arvus is not really an obligation, that ma'ariv is not really an obligation, so then there'd be no arvus for arvus. There'd be no inter-responsibility for something that's not actually an obligation. Now, if you want to take this premise, so it actually opens up a fascinating chakira and discussion one could have about the nature of arvus. Right? Basically, is arvus about the mitzvah, or is it about the person? That maybe what we mean when we say arvus about the mitzvah, is essentially what we're saying is that arvus tells us, together with other things, that every mitzvah has a lot of components to it, has a lot of levels to it. As the Gemara in Maseches Sota suggests, one of the primary sources here, that there were many brisos that were assigned, that were agreed upon on every mitzvah. So for every mitzvah, we agreed to do it, rumo, vatos, to learn about it, to teach about it. And maybe that means also that we accept responsibility for others also. So when it comes to Kiddush, we agree to do the mitzvah of Kiddush, to learn about the mitzvah of Kiddush, to teach about it, and to take responsibility for the Kiddush of others also. So according to that view, you could say, listen, so I'm only obligated towards those who share that ikhnechiyah. If somebody were not a part of that base obligation, let's say in the context of Brichas HaMazon, Arvus wouldn't extend. But if Arvus is about the individual, not about any specific mitzvah, but if we have Arvus for each other, so whatever your obligations are, I have to try to help you, so then it doesn't necessarily go down to such a micro mitzvah level. So that's an interesting chakir in general. The truth is, for the Russian brachos, the Mechilas Kvod Torah Sanad Yehuda, because obviously Rabbi Yehuda is one of the greatest Gedolim of history, but it does seem that Rabbi Akiva Eger's read here is much more compelling. Because I don't know if you even have to go so far with the Rush to say that there's no obligation even to compare it to what we said about Chazar Hashkaris Hashatz from Myers. It's even less than that. Sounds like really what the Rush is just saying is that we know that Shemer Ka'ona requires a base level of obligation in order to be Motzi somewhere else. And that Arvus tells us that if you're obligated to begin with, then we don't remove you from the mitzvah if you've already fulfilled it. But you need to be obligated to begin with. So when it comes to benching, that was the whole question. If women aren't obligated to begin with, so then Arvus is not going to help them be motzi men. But somebody who is obligated in benching theoretically, just right now he has eaten. Okay, so then you need Arvus to extend it. But we know that in general we start with that premise that you have to be mechuyev to go. So it really sounds like Rabbi Akiva Eger is a much more compelling reason, if I may say so. Like Zach was saying, that specifically in that context of Berachos HaMazon, that we would have this question. But Kiddush is different in two ways. It's different in that women are obligated in the mitzvah and not Torah. And the man who's for sure obligated primarily to be motzi his wife, who's obligated, in this case, in not Torah, but even if he's only obligated midi rabbanan. So for sure, there's no reason to say that the Arvus shouldn't be there. So the whole premise of the question is very difficult. But we have to first acknowledge, again, that Rabbi Yehuda ben Michilas Kvod Torosa is one of the great Gaonim of history, so we can't dismiss it. But also, we have to be Makir Tov, because before getting to that discussion, it allowed us to explore all these other paths that are important anyways, whether or not the question could be answered more directly, still it opens up all these other issues in Kiddush, which all tie in to our core understanding of what Kiddush is about. So I'll quickly recap it. So for everybody with me, make sense? Pretty good? Okay, so just to quickly recap what we saw, a lot of different angles coming out of this question. So, and then maybe tomorrow we'll have to still add on to a little bit more, and then we'll get into, we'll segue into the practicalities of Kiddush Makom Suda after we've finished defining everything. That's on our agenda for the next day or two. But just review what we got to see today. So we started with this question of Magen Avraham's position that you were Yotze in Shul, which is assuming even without Kiddush being recited separately, just davening. If you are making Kiddush in Shul, as many of us do, so then that presumably adds to the question. But even without that, so what about davening? It seems like many views would say that that should be enough to be Yotze Kiddush Min HaTorah. So does that create a problem for the man to go home and be motzi his wife? So Behuda raising this question because of the implication of the Rush that Arvus is not going to help in that case. So we address the question from many different levels. First, accepting the premise of the Rush that that reading of the Rush that Arvus won't help. So we have to figure out, are you indeed Yotze Kiddush Min HaTorah in Shul? So not everyone agreed with the Magen Avraham, at least without a separate Kiddush recited at the end. And you could object from any of the different sheets that require more for Kiddush Min HaTorah, but the most likely candidate was the Chiras Yetziyas Mitzrayim. And that was the issue that the Mechassinuch brought up, and the Mishnah Berurah also brought it up, and talked about the question whether it's Menat Torah or not. So if you say you need Bechiras Yis Mitzrayim, so then you're missing that. We talked a little bit about why Chazal didn't put it there in the first place, the suggestion that the Sholem Eishu quotes, etc. And the other possibility, well, less likely, is that maybe you're not Yoshe at all without Kiddush Makom Suva. Then we talked about, even if the Rush is theoretically correct, if the Magen Avraham is theoretically correct, and all the more so, especially if you are reciting Kiddush and Shul, so maybe you're still not Yoshe because of Kavana issues, and that maybe you want to have Kavana issues because even without this, you don't want to split your mitzvah, which is why we wouldn't recommend it to the wife as well. So it could be that either you need Kavana or that you actively have negative Kavana, and that was among the suggestions in the Chasam Sofer, that there could be negative Kavana assumed. And we also had the interesting discussion of should the fact that you're trying to daven Ma'ariv as opposed to make Kiddush, should that itself be considered negative Kavana? Are they distinct enough of each other? Or should we say, no, they have the same purpose, so that's not negative Kavana? That was an interesting discussion as well. And then we talked about the question of whether the premise here is correct, that the Rush says that there's no Arvus women, is that really true? Why should it be true? How far does it go? Does it go in both directions? All of which were extensive discussions in the literature. But the most compelling approach seems to be, like Zach and Ivicky Vager, that it's simply talking about the context there. It's only about Berachos HaMazon, where there was a suffix where the women share the core obligation or not. But if they're all in the same initial obligation, so then Arvus for sure should apply. And since when it comes to Kiddush, there's no question women are obligated to Minat Torah, so then Arvus for sure should apply. And we mentioned how even there are a couple of other issues that come up in context with that, like the question of Chazaras HaShatz from Ma'ariv, which is a Rishos, and the question of other applications of how far to take this, but it seems that the most logical reading is just in the language of Rush, very specifically talking only about women being motzi men in Berachos HaMazon, where they don't clearly share the same chiyuv, maybe they do, maybe they don't. But when it comes to Kiddush, and we're talking about men towards women, so that really should already take the whole question off the table. And we should assume that for sure Arvus should work that question. And I believe that's the general approach nowadays. I don't think there are those who, for one reason or another, are concerned about this issue taken altogether. Okay, so for tomorrow, we'll just explore a little bit more about some of these questions. Like just a little bit more about the Zechiris Yitzim Tzrayim and Ritual, give you a little bit more to say about this. Try to round out some of the other possibilities of what is or isn't included in Zohar Sema Shabbos Lekacho. And then we will segue from that into the details of Kiddush Makom Suva, which our Gemara is particularly involved and interested in. And also, tomorrow, the next day, get to the question of our practice in Shul and how to address its continuing endurance, despite the fact that we don't necessarily have people there who are having their meals. So a lot more to do, and a lot for today. So I wish you all wonderful days of Kiddusha and Zechira during the week, and elevated sense of responsibility towards each other, and I look forward, God willing, to seeing you tomorrow. All right, have a terrific day.